Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. Later on in the show, Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti will be joining us. Lots to get through today. We'll start in the Premier League. Manchester United taking on at Manchester City. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side beating the defending champions by 2-0. This was a great performance from United. They would open the scoring in the 29th minute. Martial with the goal. Maybe Edison should have done better.
Maybe.
And City never really got going. United win the game by 2-0 in the end. McTominay getting that second to give them all 3 points. Of course, a big 3 points for them. In a chase for a place in the Champions League next season, they remain still 3 adrift of Chelsea, who thrashed Everton today. But Leicester are going to be starting to breathe a little uneasy. They're in action tomorrow against Aston Villa. We'll talk about the significance of that result regarding the top four in Champions League a little later on. But let's just focus on this game overall. United deserved to win, didn't they?
Yeah, easily the better of the two teams. Listen, if you're City, you point to the possession and feel that you dictated the pace of the game and blah, 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 blah. In all honesty, David De Gea had one save to make all game long. I thought United looked very good defensively. And once they got the goal in, what, the 29th minute, You understand that United, happy to concede possession, not give them a whole lot of chances. At no point watching this game during the course of 90 minutes, I felt that City are going to score any minute. Wow. They have more than enough weapons to score at the drop of a hat, I know. But at no point I felt they were so dominant over United that it was just a matter of time.
You look at Manchester United today, and we have been talking about how they're trending in the right direction, that they seem to be moving in a position or towards a position which you can say, you know what, they're taking steps forward. Well, today was a big step forward. It was indeed a sign of United being together, a team that enjoys playing with each other, a team that shows a personality, a team that wins 50-50 challenges, that is competing, that is getting to most second balls. And most of all, and I think the clear picture for me was a guy like Anthony Martial, who we have criticized at times and pointed out of the fact that there seems to be no emotion about Anthony Martial. It's almost as if he doesn't care. McTominay scores a second goal, the camera pans to the bench, and Martial is having a celebration with Bruno Fernandes that you wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. A reaction of a guy who is so very excited about a team winning. If that's coming from Anthony Martial, imagine what's coming on from everybody else on that team. That tells me that they're excited to play with each other. They're excited to play for the coach. That they're buying into whatever Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is putting out on the field. And when you have that belief, and when you have that sense of purpose, and now you have players in a guy like Bruno Fernandes, so you think, you know what, he can resolve problems for us out on the field, the confidence builds. And now you get that sense of that positive energy, that positive vibe about Manchester United that you did not have for most of the season. I have to tell you, what they have done over the last month or so has been impressive.
The thing is, though, you've seen this from United before, this season, against the big boys, where United have been at their best. But then when you want them to build on those results, they've left you a little bit disappointed. But now all of a sudden we're having this discussion about this game and this result in a 10-game unbeaten streak for Manchester United. And it just feels different. It feels different to some of those four zones maybe United fans have had to endure during the course of this season.
As I mentioned, Frank Leboeuf with us as well. Frank, how impressed were you with United today?
Well, very much, very much. And it reminds me of the game that they played against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge not so long ago, where they have a very much a spirit of fighting until death. Like it seems to be. When I saw the first 20 minutes, I said, well, it's going to be the game that we are expecting, you know, the position of the ball for Manchester City. City's going to score goals and the Manchester United won't be able to fight with them. And suddenly after like 20 minutes, Manchester United started to get on with the game and showed courage toward the game and facing Manchester City in the right way. And when they scored, like the guy said, I didn't feel a City was able to do something. And when I watch City, I wonder sometimes why I'm bored, why I don't have enjoyment. And I maybe found something today that, for me, the players looks like robots. As much as I love and I appreciate, let's say, Pep Guardiola and the way that he wants the football to evolve, for me, the players are like programmed and not ready to improvise anything. So it's why maybe we don't expect, well, we don't see so much. We see the possession, we don't see the reaction. And when the problem comes to the chain, nothing happened at the end of the day because they don't know what to do. And it looked like today, facing players who were ready to fight until death again, they couldn't cope with them. And that's a strength for Manchester United, and they have to keep on going with that. But I think Manchester City has to work off the spirit of football, intuition, improvisation, and reaction. And it's not what I see with the City players.
Social media will tell you that we hate Manchester United. So on that course, Shaka, isn't this a case just of a team wanting it more today? City, who won the title, obviously, the last two seasons, going to this game, knowing that it doesn't really matter. Yes, bragging rights are at stake. Mm-hmm. Concentration isn't as high as maybe it should have been. And that's epitomized by the goalkeeper making those two mistakes. The first one, not just the goalkeeper, the fact that everyone falls asleep. They're not quite as sharp as they need to be because they know they're not going to win the title.
Well, I mean, that's an easy out for Manchester United and Manchester City, and understandably so. They're going to finish second. I think there's more than enough room between them and the chasing pack, regardless of what Leicester does from here on in. If City had the Champions League this week, I would have offered them the excuse that they had one eye on that game because that's the bigger of the competitions for them right now, but they don't, and especially given what happened between these two, one in the reverse fixture in the league, and then the second leg in the League Cup where United got the better of them. I wanted a response, and for fans, this is a big game. Regardless of where you are in the table, regardless of what your own priorities may be, this is a big game for the City fans, and I expected more of a response. Okay, Edison had a bad day. It happens. But at the same time, again, for all the money that City have spent, I expected more from those players. And just again, as much as you may be missing De Bruyne, and that maybe would have made a difference, I expected so much more from a very talented City
team. But as Frank said, it's just City going through the motions.
Yes, and I think that's not only displayed in what Ederson did and the lack of concentration you're talking about, but it also in the quality of the possession. They may have 70% possession, but the quality of that possession wasn't quite there. We've come to expect a certain level of passing and movement from Manchester City that is not there. How many times in that game today did we see Manchester City putting the ball too far ahead or too far behind the player or straight out of bounds? Things that don't happen to Manchester City, or at least didn't in the past. But those sort of things have happened to Manchester City over the course of the season one too many times. Mm. Just too many times overall. This is not just a one-off game in which we have seen this version of Manchester City. This has happened time and time again during the season. Hence why they are miles away from Liverpool. It's a team that has found difficulties to be consistent. And so I sat here after the Real Madrid game and I thought, this is something different. Maybe they've turned the corner. Maybe they're trending in the right direction. They win the League Cup and you think, all right, they advance in the FA Cup. Okay, they're generating momentum. They're preparing for what's ahead. And what's ahead is obviously going to be Champions League because that's the one thing that they have to go after. And then they have one of these performances.
But isn't that just the players and the motivation? All those matches that you mentioned, there was something on the line.
Yeah,
apart from bragging rights here, which I think it's fair to say the City players wouldn't care as much as the fans. Mm. That, you know, that the 5% was missing and that was clear
today. The danger to that, though, and we've said this time and time again, you don't just switch that on and off. Mm. You just because it's...
But they have done. They did in the Champions League against Real Madrid.
Yes, but you get that result, but you don't rely on that because this game has a way of coming back to bite you when you least expect it. And unless you keep your standards at a certain level, week in, week out, it will. It'll catch up to you. If it's not Real Madrid, now who knows when it'll be in the next round.
Outside of Liverpool, who would be the most important game for Manchester City in the Premier League? Mm-hmm. Manchester United. Is it not? And if that doesn't get your attention as a player, then what does? If performing against a team who you know they've been uncomfortable to play against, who you know they're getting your attention, and yet you're not at your very best or willing to put out your very best, and we see the mistakes that we saw from Manchester City time and time again, it just tells me that it's not a team that you can trust right now. You can trust them to beat Real Madrid the way they did, and then you believe, and it's false hope, and then you see this from Manchester City, and it's two way different versions. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the middle is the reality of Manchester City.
Next up for City, of course, is Arsenal in the Premier League at midweek. Meanwhile, for United, it's all about now trying to book a place in the Champions League next season. This is to finish top four. Of course, as it stands, top five with City being excluded from the UEFA competition for the next two seasons. Frank, for you, obviously, 3 points separate United and Chelsea at the moment. Chelsea looking good today with their win at home against Everton, looking very good. Who would you suggest? Who for you is going to get that fourth spot? United looking good, Bruno Fernandes coming in, or Chelsea?
Well, right now we say that Manchester United is doing great, and they keep the clean sheet most of the game they play. They're very well balanced, and they fight very much. Chelsea is more artistic. They can do very well and do very bad at the same time, so it's very unbalanced. Well, of course, deep in my heart, I would say Chelsea, but I think it's going to be a big fight until the end. So, well, let's say Chelsea because they still have 3 points in hand, but it's going to be a very hard fight until the end.
It's going to be very interesting.
It is, and listen, between Chelsea and United, Manchester United, for me, have the easier of the two run-ins. And as a result, if I'm Chelsea, and you can't rely on the kind of performance you saw from them against Everton today. I thought Everton were very poor. But they've been far too inconsistent. And given the run that Manchester United all of a sudden have found themselves in, I think they might just put Chelsea to it.
I wouldn't put Leicester out of this.
Yeah, Leicester playing Villa tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
they're in a bad slump at the moment.
And they are trending in the wrong direction. Yeah. Let's just say that. And so, for me, Leicester is very much in this conversation as well. And if they get a couple of bad results and Manchester United continues to play the way they are, not only are they going to be in the conversation, they may be out of the conversation.
Speaking of conversation, it continues, of course, over on our YouTube channel. Always feel free to tweet us in, hashtag FC Extra Time, where we answer your questions.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Juventus against Inter Milan then went ahead today in front of an empty stadium. It was a surreal experience, but one that saw Juve beat Inter comfortably in the end by 2-0. Aaron Ramsey scoring just after the break in the second half. And then a lovely goal from Paulo Dybala made it Juve 2-0. And what that means now is that Juve are 9 points clear of Inter in third. They also leapfrog Lazio back to top spot. This was weird, wasn't it, boys? It was just weird to watch. And we understand why this had to take place in this manner. But for such a big game to have such a strange feeling as a spectator, it was kind of difficult to watch.
It was. Yeah, and listen, we knew it was going to be odd given the conditions that the game was going to be played under. I don't think we figured it would be this strange. And especially a game of this magnitude with these two clubs, arguably the two biggest clubs in Italian football, battling out for what may eventually be the title. And it felt empty.
It was empty.
Well, literally.
It was empty.
It felt empty, but especially because Inter Milan was simply awful.
Yeah.
I thought the oddity of the game would play into Inter's hands, given the fact that it's in Turin. And they were simply awful. They gave us nothing to give Juventus nothing to be worried about, nothing for anybody to cling our hat on that there's going to be some kind of a title race out of this. Juventus, by far the better of the two, dominated and got the 3 points. And really, nothing really has to report.
Yeah. To give you an idea of how odd this was, it is so difficult to understand that every touch on the ball you could hear on the microphone. Every shot on target, everything that was happening on the field, you can actually hear, which is not something that we're used to. And whenever there was a shot on goal, you're expecting some sort of reaction from a crowd that was never there. And it's almost as if, oh, that was a goal-scoring opportunity, but nobody cares. Well, nobody cares because nobody's there. I would also say, it's interesting for me that Sarri, he has a difficult time putting out Dybala, Higuain, and Ronaldo out on the field at the same time. When he does, they seem to work well together. Sometimes Higuain dropping underneath, which is not natural for him, but he does it at times. And then Dybala just kind of goes to the wide right area, and then he receives the ball there. And there's rotation, and Ronaldo has freedom to go wherever he wants to. And it seems to work well in the occasions that he has used it. I'm not sure as to why he won't commit himself to try to do this more consistent, because it's a team that struggles to create opportunities. Today, what we saw from Dybala in that second goal, it shows you how special of a player he can be. Hasn't always been this, and doesn't always show this. But it's not only the finish. It's the first touch on the ball over the top by Betancourt, where he gets around Ashley Young. And then on the 1-2, once he gets into a position where Ramsey plays on the ball, once again Ashley Young has an opportunity to make a tackle, and he cuts him back to the outside and finishes the way that he did. You have to say to yourself, man, this guy can be useful to you, not just 20 minutes at a time, but 90 minutes at a time. But it doesn't always happen for him. It doesn't always happen for Sarri either.
Let's bring Gab Marcotti into the conversation. Gab, Inter Milan will be so disappointed that they didn't really put up a fight today.
Yeah, undeniably they will be. And, you know, you talk about they didn't put up a fight. You can look at it on a binary way with Conte, where either, you know, they do what he says he wants them to do and be aggressive and press in midfield and work hard. They didn't do that. Or the other thing you could do is, hey, how about you put the guys out there who can actually pass and create, i.e. Christian Eriksen. And again, we see this guy come off the bench, and he doesn't give the impression that he is a Conte-type player, which then begs the question of, why did you spend all this money on him? He's supposed to give you something different. He could have done something, possibly, if you'd figured out a way to go and play him. But I also think we have to give credit to Juve. Both games against Inter this season, they've played really, really well. And Juve have not played well for much of this season. But they really raised their game when it mattered. Bonucci, I thought, was exceptional on Lukaku. And Sarri, too. We can give him some credit. I know that Ali would love it if he got more Dybala, but I thought dropping Pjanic for Bentancur was a big call and one that really paid off as well. And we saw what this Juve midfield theoretically could be and hasn't been for much of this season.
Are Inter out of the title race, Gab?
Well, I mean, they have a game to make up, but then it becomes 6 points, but then they still have to go win it. I wouldn't write them off completely at this stage. But there's no question that their chances have shrunk down significantly.
Of course, we saw those extraordinary scenes earlier on in the day, Gab, where there were extended talks between the players and the coaching and the FA overall regarding whether or not today's matches were even going to take place at all, because the Players Association didn't want this to happen. And am I right in thinking there's going to be more discussions on Tuesday as to how we're going to go forward, of course, with the coronavirus still being such a big problem?
Yeah, so Damiano Tommasi, he sits on the board of FIFPro, the International Players Union, the head of the, he's also the head of the Italian Players Union. He came out Saturday night, reiterated it Sunday morning. He said, I don't think we should be playing. We should be suspending all this. We should be focusing on what is a national emergency. Now, remember, late Saturday night, they increased the size of the red zone in Northern Italy, to include something like 15 million people now who are under these restrictions. You're talking a quarter of the population there. And his point was, well, why are we playing football? We should suspend it. That's what Switzerland, who just north of the border, have done. And, you know, I think he's kind of pushing the line that, guys, this situation is going to get worse, not just in Italy. In Germany right now, they have more than 800 cases, which is sort of the level that Italy was at when they imposed the restrictions. In France, they're pushing 1,000. And so you kind of get the sense that football, or the point he's making is that football authorities are just like, okay, well, let's just sit this, let's just wait this out, wait for this problem to go away. And what he's saying is we shouldn't be playing. This problem, is not going to go away. Let's stop playing and let's wait and see. Let's let the authorities do their job.
And of course, a lot more on this on the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops tomorrow. Just a reminder, you can get that as the same place where you get our podcast as well over on the website. Real Madrid remain second in the table as they lost away against Real Betis today by 2-1. Barca, of course, that victory yesterday against Real Sociedad means that they are 2 points clear at the top of the table for Real Madrid. This was really poor from them today, wasn't it, Gab?
You know, they've dropped points in recent games. You know, think of the Celta game, for example. But This wasn't just them dropping points. This was a really poor performance. Betis have a lot of talented players. They're wildly inconsistent under Rubi. Betis played at the top of their game, and Real Madrid, really, apart from the last 15, 20 minutes, produced very little.
The thing is, it's not a surprise, boys, is it? Because considering, okay, they had a great run from October into the new year, but since then, it has been so inconsistent. But Real Madrid fans were hoping, you know, hanging their hat on the fact that after that second half performance in the Clásico, getting that win against Barcelona, right, here we go, you know, full steam ahead to the finish line and winning the title. But instead, you go away against Real Betis, and as Gab says, this wasn't unlucky or a case of mischances. It was a really bad performance.
It was sluggish. It was slow. It was underwhelming. And it's not what you expect from a team that just won a Clásico. Who, naturally, you would think, okay, if you just won a Clásico, it's the thing that really spurs you forward. It's the thing that truly motivates you and say, you know what? We have a real opportunity here to make sure that we keep our distance from Barcelona. And you go into this match against Betis knowing full well that Barcelona got 3 points against Real Sociedad without being convincing themselves, but they got 3 points. And so there's a little bit of pressure there. And so there's a need for you to carry that momentum. There's a need for you to then showcase the best version of yourself. Man, it was far from that for Real Madrid. And it's not, I think the most frustrating part for a Real Madrid fan, it shouldn't be the fact that, okay, you had a poor performance today. And as frustrating as that may be, is the fact that you're not surprised that those poor performances are coming. You're sort of expecting that somewhere around the corner is going to be a bad performance on Real Madrid and they're going to drop points somewhere. Silver lining for them is that I think Barcelona fans are sitting back and saying exactly the same thing. Somewhere around the corner, there's a bad performance waiting and we're going to drop points. It's almost as if neither one of these teams is good enough to truly, truly sprint away from the other. And it's only a race because both of them are vulnerable and frail.
Who's going to be the best or worst, Shaq? Who's winning La Liga?
Right now, it's tough to call. If I sit here and say Real Barcelona going and win it, I'm aware.
Are you sure?
No, my point.
Did you say Real Barcelona?
If I say Barcelona win it, this will be the third time I've changed my mind in the last 2 weeks because it just keeps going in runabouts that way. And the surprising thing for me from Real Madrid is, you mentioned, on the back of the Clásico, at the second half of the season, coming into the Champions League where you wanted good performances, you thought you got that against Barcelona, and those same players failed to show up against Betis. And let's be honest, Betis could have won by 4 or 5 today. It wasn't just a 2-1 game. I'm leaning Real, but by default.
Right, brilliant, Shaq. I've no idea who you're backing. Right, till tomorrow, goodbye.
Real Barcelona.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. A smorgasbord of questions today. We'll start with Frank LeBoeuf.
Hey, oh, hello. Frankie.
Frank, would Shaka have done better than Edison today?
Yes, of course. He's always been perfect. You know, I played many times against him. He never made any mistakes. So what can I say? No, of course, yeah. Well, it's always hard to judge a goalkeeper because, of course, when they make a mistake, they're always punished. So I'll try to be not too harsh to goalkeeper. So the second goal is stupid. The first goal, it can happen. That's football. If they have no mistakes, you have no goals. But the second one, come on, you're better than that. You should do better than that.
Where do you stand on Edison's tattoos, Frank? Are you a fan of the smiley face just behind the ear? Would you like to add that?
Nah.
No?
Nah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because when he's going to get, soft or fat, after his career, that's not gonna be very nice to see, you know what I mean?
Is that experience talking, Frank?
Not at all. I just have a tattoo in my back, like that, I can't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about it.
What's the tattoo of on your back?
It's the Buddhist home, when the call of the prey, and when you're Buddhist, the home. Voilà.
Ah, maybe the World Cup. Have a picture of you and Craig together at Chelsea.
No, not at all.
Or in San Etienne, in that ghost game that...
Yes, the pretend one. Yeah.
That's correct.
Exactly.
Gab Marcotti's here as well.
Ah, lovely.
I think from previous experience, Gab doesn't have any tattoos. Mm. Bruno or Pogba, Gab, who would you have in your midfield?
Mucho.
Yeah. So who's the first one you mentioned? And by the way, I do have a tattoo.
Do you, Gab?
Right.
Come on.
That's so beautiful.
Please share.
Is it Zach Ertz? Who's the Eagles? Zach Ertz, isn't it, Gab?
It's not Zach Ertz. It's Little Fish. So there.
It's what, Nemo?
Nemo? We found Nemo?
Nemo.
Nemo?
Yeah, it's Nemo.
I don't care about Bruno or Pogba anymore. Yeah, but you never told me you had a fish tattoo.
Where is Nemo?
Nemo lives on my hip, which is why Dan has never seen it.
Ooh.
I really don't want to find Nemo now.
You can keep Nemo.
Oh, that never came out of a Champions League final. Right, did we answer the question?
I've forgotten what the question
you
is.
You two comments are very angry. Bruno or Pogba, Gab? Bruno Fernandes or Paul Pogba?
Well, yeah, I know who they are. look, Bruno Fernandes has been tremendous for Manchester United, and you'd be mad to drop him right now. Paul Pogba, I think, is all around a better footballer when he's fit. He's not fit now. I don't think it's an either-or situation. And I think, despite all these people continually telling us that Pogba's leaving and Mino Raiola's bad and he's engineering a move, and, I think a sane person would want both of them to be fit and both of them to be starting for Manchester United.
Frank. Do United keep Ollie or bring in Pochettino next season?
Maybe Solskjaer still, no? Yeah, Pochettino. Pochettino. Let's go for it.
Yeah, Pochettino.
Well, if Solskjaer is confirmed, you don't have to talk about it. But I think they're going to change. They want to go to another level. And right. I think they're going to go for Pochettino.
Right, now we have to be serious.
Okay.
Gav, if Serie A is suspended, should Juve be declared winners as they are currently the team with the most points?
I don't know. I mean, this is all TBD. If it is suspended, I think they're going to secretly hope against hope that other leagues around Europe get suspended as well, and that, you know, maybe you start considering possibly, and I know this would cause shockwaves, but maybe moving Euro 2020 to next summer and allowing the domestic leagues to continue into June. It would create a massive headache and a massive knock-on effect because, of course, June 2021 is when you play the FIFA, eagerly anticipated FIFA Club World Cup. You also have the eagerly awaited Nations League final. You've got some very big, World Cup qualifiers coming up. But frankly, you know, if the issue, like if it remains circumscribed to Italy and Switzerland suspending their leagues, fine. But if it does go further, and, you know, I think right now that's not a possibility that anybody would rule out, I think that would be a better solution if the league is suspended rather than just saying, okay, fine, you get to win another title, you know, when you haven't played everybody twice, which is the whole basis of the league. They may not have that option if it gets to that point, but I think that would be a better solution.
Ali, which team is likely to win La Liga, Barcelona or Real Madrid? Barca 2 points ahead at the moment.
I'm going to say Barcelona, but without any sort of confidence in either one of the teams. And I think that's
reflective. It's like default, isn't it?
Yeah, it's reflective of how short of the expectations both of these teams have come this year. When you think that one of them seems to be getting away from the other, then a couple of bad results, and then Barcelona jumps ahead. And then Real Madrid jumps ahead again. And we just haven't seen a really high-level performance from either team with any sort of consistency throughout the course of the year.
Shaga, how difficult is it to play a team fighting relegation this time of year? It's not like all US sports where the bottom teams are hoping for a high draft pick instead of struggling to remain in the league.
It's always difficult, but the truth is they're at the bottom for a reason, because they aren't very good. So if you are a decent team, you fancy your chances. But you know it's...
Did you get relegated?
No.
Do you see how quick that
yeah,
was?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because I know the answer.
No.
I know the answer.
That's no.
Gab, what's your opinion on eating pizza with a knife and fork?
Ooh. Oh. All right, so pizza is not meant to be eaten with a knife and fork. You're not supposed to do it. Even in the fanciest of restaurants, you're not supposed to do it. However, some of these gourmet pizzas that have arisen, which are not traditional pizzas, but, you know, some of them are good and creative and whatever, they just have so much stuff on top.
Yeah. That the pineapple falls off, doesn't it? That's the problem.
Messy.
Got to try and get that pineapple in. The pineapple falls off.
The pineapple's just wrong. But listen, you can put turds on your pizza for all I like, okay? But what I'm saying is, if you're unable to eat the pizza neatly, then I don't have a major issue with you using a knife and fork if it is a particularly complicated pizza to eat in a neat way. Ultimately, the idea is for you to eat. However, it's not something I would advise, and certainly with a simpler pizza like a margherita or a quattro stagioni, you really shouldn't ever need to use your knife and fork if it's done properly.
You know when Gab is passionate about something, we rarely kiss his hands on the TV screen.
Yeah.
But when he gives you this, you know.
Then you know.
You know we're in it to win it.
Frank, where do you stand on the knife and fork with a pizza?
Well, no, you have to eat with your hands. There's no way you have to eat with a knife and fork.
He knows.
The thing is, I don't understand the meaning of gourmet pizza. It sounds an oxymoron for me, if you know what I mean.
It's a pizza or it isn't.
Right, final question is for you, Frank. It's a simple one. Beer or wine?
Ooh. Oh, I love both of them, but I only go for red wine. Because I know white wine is not good for your muscles, for your joints, and so many other things because it's too acid. Mm. But the beer is good for you, even for your intestine, your stomachs, and to digest and to recover as well. Mm-hmm. But so after sports, will we say beer? And for dinner, I would say red wine.
Okay, lovely. Mm. We just to reiterate, ESPN FC don't necessarily support the views of Frank LeBeuf on beer or wine being good for your health.
Or your recovery.
On that note, we will say goodbye. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm not coming in.
What? Why not?
Shaq is just going to be full of red wine and beer. Recovery.
I'm going to recover. I'm going to drink some red wine and then recover with a few beers.
Oh, then go get a tattoo.
Nemo?
He's going to get Dory.
Oh, no. Dory? Nemo?